It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining us on the Trocare College Live Line right now from Syracuse.com, and check him out on the Shout podcast, a great podcast for all your Bills needs. Matt Perino to talk about the Bills' big trade yesterday. You know, Matt, it's funny. We were talking yesterday at about this time with Sal, and I asked him, all right, you know, we had a few big plays from some wide receivers. There was a nice Curtis Samuel play. He had a Mac Hollins touchdown. Does it take any of the heat off the wide receiver room? And he said, you know, maybe a little bit. You know, they win, so the fans won't be talking about it as much, but here we go. Just a few hours later, they do make that move and make a trade for Amari Cooper. What was your initial reaction?
Yeah, I think this needed to happen, right? Like, this is, to your point, this is a group of wide receivers week in and week out that, you know, you never want to disrespect anybody, right? Like, I don't know if they were necessarily in the roles that they were meant to be in this offense, right? You get rid of Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. You replace him with a rookie in Keon Coleman, who I think everybody was super excited about in the building. But as time has gone on this season, he just hasn't quite popped yet consistently. He's had a couple really nice plays, but they needed a little bit more consistency at that top spot. Khalil Shakir is a really, really good wide receiver. Plays majority of the snaps in the slot. And beyond them, it's just a lot of like journeyman type free agents that they brought in, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's now a free agent again, and Mac Hollins, who probably makes a lot more sense on special teams consistently than being your de facto number one wide receiver. So in Amari Cooper, they get a guy who has 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He got 7 of them in his 10 NFL years. Before that, the Bills' 5 wide receivers they went into the season with, among them had 0 1,000-yard receiving seasons. So this is just an addition of a player that is a true number one that teams have to kind of scheme against. And what I think that it brings back to their offense is, even when Stephon Diggs wasn't going off for big stat games, I still think that teams had to know where he is. And you have to know where Amari Cooper is. And I think he's also going to be a guy that gets separation as a route runner, which means getting some distance between him and the closest defender, which gives Josh Allen easy button throws in the short and intermediate passing game, which I think is going to really help their offense and specifically their passing game.
Yeah, a lot of what you're talking about, though, Matt, it's in the past tense. And since his days in Dallas, I feel like we haven't heard too much about Amari Cooper. What can you tell us about this year and how he's looked in the past few games?
Well, this year hasn't been great, and I think that's probably why you're getting him for a third-round draft pick, basically like a pick swap in 2025 and a conditional 7th, is because, you know, the numbers haven't been great this year. But there's also some advanced numbers that show Cooper's just playing in arguably the worst offense in the NFL with the worst quarterback in the NFL. There is a stat where one of the fantasy data sites puts out where quarterbacks are ranked based on their accuracy percentage. Josh Allen ranks 2nd in the NFL for accurate throws at 59%. Deshaun Watson in Cleveland ranks 26th of 31 at 44%. So it's just a situation where when you're dealing with throws that are challenging most of the time in an offense, I think that just gets a little bit redundant. The situation in Cleveland, they tried to trade for Brandon Ayuk in the summer, and Cooper got wind of it, and I think he just was ready for a new start. This is a guy that put up 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns last year with Joe Flacco on a run to the playoffs when Watson got hurt. So there's still a lot of potential here. I think that he's been consistently a reliable target, and that's what they need too, guys that they can rely upon to get open for Josh Allen. And I think it helps everybody else in the wide receiver room kind of slot down into a role that they're more comfortable in.
What is your expectation level? Where do you think fans' expectation level should be for Cooper over the next few weeks? Because I feel like after wide receiver trades, especially, you see a few every year in the NFL where some name that you know moves to a new team as a wide receiver, and it takes a little while to get going, or at least it does when they're on my fantasy team, and you got a few weeks of like duds. It always seems to happen. Should we temper expectations for the first week or two, or how are you looking at it?
Yeah, I think that initially you're probably going to see him more in that Marquez Valdez-Scantling role of, you know, 20 to 30% of the snaps. I think that's a safe assumption, but I'm also uncomfortable making any assumption because this is a guy that's played more football than probably their entire wide receiving room combined. He got traded to Dallas in 2018, about the same time, 6 or 7 games into the season. He went on to score 9 touchdowns, had like 700 yards receiving in that offense. So this is a guy that's done it before off of a trade. This is the third time he's been traded to a new team. He started with the Raiders, got traded to Dallas, then he got traded to Cleveland. So this is a very seasoned veteran, somebody that's been in the league a long time, has worked with a lot of subpar quarterbacks, and this is the first chance that he gets to play with a legitimate elite quarterback in Josh Allen. And you can kind of tell the excitement. He had one statement. He spoke to Josina Anderson yesterday and really communicated the excitement to be linked with Josh Allen now. He's watched him for a long time, big fan of his game. I think he's the perfect kind of receiver to add into the mix and somebody that should be able to still do it at a high level. Also, Adam Henry, the Bills wide receivers coach, coached him in Dallas. So there's a familiarity with him within the Bills coaching staff. And so I think that they tab this as something that can come in, a guy that can come in and make an immediate impact.
Got to ask you before we leave, though, right before the Bills made this trade, Davante Adams, who was the big wide receiver on the market, the big name at least, was traded to the New York Jets, reunites with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, how do you see that move? You just saw the Jets. Is this them kind of grasping for straws or anything, or do you think this will play out well for them?
Well, the one question I had is, can Davante Adams play offensive line? Because that's what they really, really need, and he can't. And he can catch passes. He's a decent blocker in the run game, but they're not going to line him up on the line. I think Aaron Rodgers, at his age and the lack of mobility that we've seen through the first 6 games of the season, you know, their offensive line just isn't good enough. So you can add all of the all-world talent at wide receiver, and trust me, Davante Adams is as good as it gets. You know, pairing him with Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, they got a couple of, you know, nice young tight ends and Breece Hall in the backfield. It's a really good offense, and they have a really good defense. They're in a hole right now at 2-4. Can they all get on the same page fast enough? And can that offensive line be good enough? Because to me, that's the key to everything for a quarterback that can't really move very well. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. And, you know, Tua Tagovailoa should be back in the next couple of weeks, depending on how his situation goes. They're 2-3 right now, but you know they can kind of go on a little bit of run. They did it last year. I don't think the division's necessarily over yet, but I think the Bills positioned themselves really nicely yesterday with the addition of Cooper.
Well, great to hear. And Matt, great to hear from you. And we'll look forward to hearing more on the Shout podcast and Syracuse.com. That's Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter, joining us live here on WBEM. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.